Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is aired nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Global 2000 when we return. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, liberties, and property since Noah's flood. Now, that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in the scriptures detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. And the scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers, these preachers and politicians like the Kennedys and Specters and Hillary Clinton. And let's prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, to do just that, why don't you start by writing for my free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call right now to order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. So if you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that general law CD package. Make sure you put an address on there so that we'll send it out through the postal service. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967 to order that free general law CD package. All right, last time we were talking about John Coleman. Now, John Coleman is a former British intelligence officer. He's up in his 80s now, lives in Carson City, Nevada. Quite an interesting fellow. I've been to several of his seminars over the years. He described the AIDS epidemic. He said that's man-made. That was a British invention, by the way. It wasn't even American. Of course, shared by the British with the Americans, but it's a British invention. They did it in Sierra Leone back in 1964, I believe he said it was. And there's a purpose for it. When it was first discovered, it was germ warfare. It was for the purpose of using against hostile nations or hostile armies. Now, in the meantime, it's been picked up by the Global 2000 people, and this report that John Coleman is reporting here in his booklet is a report to President Jimmy Carter in 1978. And he's commenting on that report. It's official U.S. government policy. We're following U.S. government policy. And the official report was put out by Cyrus Vance. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Cyrus Vance was very prominent in government throughout the 1960s and 70s. And of course, now that this is U.S. government policy, there's a lot more to it than what we've discussed so far, but we're going to take a look at the ramifications of the Global 2000 program being worked out by the U.S. government, the British government, and a number of governments around the world, and Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy, kind of a wild combination, isn't it? Moses wrote about it. The Messiah wrote three chapters concerning this thing called Global 2000. In Bible prophecy, it's called the Great Tribulation. It's the end time destruction, the self-destruction of mankind on planet Earth. And it's coming to pass right in front of our eyeballs today, and John Coleman is writing about it, but he's not a theologian. He's not sitting here telling you to repent and give your life to Jesus. He's simply telling you in plain language, this is what's coming out of the United Nations, the United States government. He's describing the Iraq War and a few other events that have been well chronicled throughout history. Books have been written on the subject. And there are prime architects of this concept. And what their real concern is that there are too many people in the world consuming too much of the world's resources, and we've reached peak oil now. Peak oil. That's where we are using all the oil that we can possibly pump out of the ground just as fast as we're pumping it out of the ground. There's no reserve capacity. I can remember years ago that Saudi Arabia alone had 6 million barrels a day reserve capacity. Today it's gone. The Saudis are pumping all the oil out of the ground that they can pump just as fast as they can pump it. There's two bottlenecks in the supply line. Not enough tankers to carry it, not enough refineries to refine it. Then you got two big players coming in on the scene, China and India. They're buying more of it. So the world is running out of oil, and there's a big battle coming up. And this big battle is going to be fought in the Middle East. It's the biggest military battle ever fought in the history of mankind. 200 million soldiers. 200 million men. That's a big army. You know, you take a look at the army that we've got in Iraq today. 150,000. Not even a million. During World War II, America had 11 million soldiers under arms. 11 million people, 11 million military personnel in World War II. And we're talking about a battle in which 200 million are going to participate or take part in. Now, there's only two countries in the world that have a population large enough to field an army that size, and that would have to be China or India. Both of them have about 1 billion people in their population. So if you took 20% of the people of China, you could field a 200 million man army. Or if you took 100 million from China and 100 million from India, maybe we could field a 200 million man army. But my point is this. Bible prophecy was well ahead of the events that we see unfolding today. And it's not just a good guess. Not just a good guess at all. The creator of the universe programmed it out and he said, this is what I'm going to do. And this battle is going to be fought in that little land of Israel, 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. 35 miles out of town. Not even very far. 200 million men army. What do you think they're going to be doing there in the Middle East? Fighting over orange groves and olives? Or do you think maybe they might be fighting over oil? Israel is a nuclear power, so it would seem like to me that makes all the sense in the world to be fighting against that little country of Israel with their nuclear weapons. Now there's a couple other countries over there with nuclear weapons there in the Middle East. You got the Iranians emerging, and you've got the Pakistanis with the bomb, and you've got India with the bomb. India and Pakistan have it. Israel's got it. The Iranians are working on it. And you got a 200 million man army that's going to come to Palestine, to Israel, to fight this great war. And this war is going to be fought over the dwindling means of survival. The dwindling means of oil. And John Coleman here is on the cutting edge. He wrote this back in 1992, I believe it was. Let me look at the date on here. 1992, copyrighted. And the references that we're making in here are his observations here about 13 years ago. He's just as poignant today as it was 13 years ago. He said, Global 2000 sets goals. It's not just some hopeful, far distant nightmare, which it expounds. On the contrary, it says in plain language that by the year 2000, the world shall have rid itself of at least 100 million useless eaters. And by the year 2050, the number shall amount to not less than 400 million people. And how will this be accomplished? Read again the words of Bertrand Russell and H.G. Wells and see again the Khmer Rouge in action in Cambodia. By the year 2000, the number of full-blown AIDS cases in America will have reached 10 million, with millions more dying of AIDS-related diseases like tuberculosis, meningitis, cholera, and far more likely from bubonic plague. These events were planned and they're ongoing because not much is said about AIDS other than to downplay how fearfully contagious it is and to underestimate the number of full-blown cases. We, in the United States, have not yet come to fully realize what has hit us. But by the year 2000, we'll have come to the full knowledge of the hows and whys of AIDS. By then, it'll be too late. Well, now, AIDS has been contained, by and large, in the United States, but it's running rampant in Africa. Running rampant in Africa, and it's running pandemic around the world. It's a pandemic. No, it's out of control around the world. Now, the United States is definitely a target, but it hasn't been from AIDS. So Coleman didn't quite have that one figured out, but then he never claimed to be a prophet. He just claimed to be a reporter who's reporting from his position as an intelligence officer with British intelligence. Then here's the other half of the coin that was really so shocking to me. I asked him about revealing these state secrets, and he said, there's nothing state secret about it. All of this information that I'm telling you has been revealed. He said, I know a lot of secrets. And he said, I haven't revealed any of those. And what I do know and what I cannot reveal is much more alarming than what is known and what I can reveal, but I'm going to tell you what I can. How do you like that? It's worse than he's describing, but he can't tell us that because that is state secret. And once he joined the British Secret Service, he's a Secret Service MI6 officer for life. And he can't write anything unless it's been approved. And he said he hasn't broken any laws or revealed anything that hasn't already been revealed. That's the shocking part of his report. Now, regional limited wars using chemical and bacteriological weapons of mass destruction will also take huge toll of human life. There will be no civilians in these wars, only the enemy who will suffer violent attack, such as was dealt to the people of Iraq. Iraq was, in fact, a test case. India and Pakistan are already being set up for a major war, which will eliminate a few million on either side. Africa has already been decimated by plagues and famine. The number of deaths in Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia, Kenya, and Uganda runs to 25 million, according to an unofficial World Health Organization figure. Now, this is only the beginning. And as the economies of the third world countries continue into a depression, more and more people weakened by famine will fall prey to plagues of one kind or another. And that's what's going on in Africa. There are countries in Africa, such as Botswana, where 37% of the people are infected by AIDS, 25% in South Africa, and South Africa is an advanced industrial nation. 25%, one person in four, now has AIDS in South Africa. Now, of course, these are black countries, and these are the countries that we already saw in the last program have been targeted for annihilation. All of the black and oriental races are targeted for annihilation. I wonder the Battle of Megiddo in Palestine. I wonder if those millions of Indians, Chinese, and Japanese, and Koreans are going to sit by while the oligarchs of the Committee of 300 destroy them. Or do you think maybe they might resist? Do you think maybe that's why the Battle of Armageddon? The Orientals are going to say, wait a minute, we're not going to sit still for this. And keep in mind that this is a white man's plan. The white man's plan. Now, that's not to say that all the white people in the world are seeking to dominate all the blacks and Orientals. It means that the cadre of oligarchs, the Committee of 300, are white Anglo-Saxons, and they aim to rule the world. And there's a fight going on between two factions of those whites, the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Jacob. Two factions duking it out for control of the world. And the Messiah said that when it's all said and done, if he didn't come back and intervene, he said there'd no flesh be saved alive on planet Earth. That's how bad it's going to get. Coleman isn't talking about how bad it's going to get. I'm not sure that he knows. But Bible prophecy does, and Bible prophecy said, and the Messiah said, no flesh would be saved alive if this thing were allowed to run its course. Now, if we don't want to believe that the Committee of 300 believes, that is, man is an enemy of the planet, then read what the Club of Rome founder and member Aurelio Pecci wrote on the subject. A-U-R-E-L-I-O, Aurelio Pecci, I believe is the way you pronounce that. He said, for the first time since the millennium was approached in Christendom, large masses of people are really in suspense about the impending advent of something unknown which could change their collective fate entirely. Pecci goes on to say that animals know how to be animals, but what only man is vile. Now they are in danger because their deadliest enemy, the enemy tyrant of most forms of life, man, moves ever more against them. Man invented the story of the bad dragon, but if there ever was a bad dragon on earth, it is man himself. Since man opened the Pandora box of new technology, he has suffered uncontrollable human proliferation, the mania for growth, energy crises, actual or potential resource scarcity, degradation of the environment, nuclear folly, and countless other afflictions. Surely this dangerous enemy must be held in check. I want to ask you, boys and girls, who are the dangerous enemies? Isn't it our professions and professionals? You know, it isn't the garbage truck drivers in New York City that have created AIDS in the laboratory and unleashed it upon the Africans. It's not the carpenters, plumbers, and electricians that discovered nuclear energy and have unleashed that genie of nuclear technology upon the world. It's the governments and the politicians. It's the scientists. It's the intelligentsia of the world. The very people who are going to, they claim, be the survivors. And it's the garbage men and the carpenters, plumbers, electricians, and the blacks and the orientals that are going to be killed. Because as they describe it, these evil men who are going around the world consuming its resources and threatening the destruction of the world. Not only have they got that backwards, it's the nuclear scientists, it's the politicians, it's the Ted Kennedys and the George Bushes that are the problem. It's not the garbage men in New York, or the plumbers in Los Angeles, or the boat people of Vietnam or any place else. The common people on planet Earth were happy to go out and catch fish and haul the garbage and build houses and live their lives and do their things. It's the professional people of the world, the intelligentsia, that are the threatening forces on planet Earth. That's where reality's at. And now they say, hey, listen, man is vile. This guy, Aurelio Pecci of the Club of Rome, blames all of us, the commoners. We're the problem here, he's saying. He goes on to say here that surely this dangerous enemy must be held in check. Man, the dangerous enemy. I'm not a dangerous enemy. But that politician in Washington, George Bush, I'd say that he's a dangerous enemy. I'd say those bureaucrats in the United Nations are dangerous enemies. Now you just take a look at who's killing who in Iraq. Is it the common people of Iraq over there that are the dangerous enemies? Or is it the world powers, the powers that be? You know, you can decide for yourself who you think are the dangerous enemies, but I didn't invent nuclear weapons. I didn't invent mustard gas or some other means of mass destruction, boys and girls. He goes on to say here that the Mesaveric and Pestle Project labeled man as a cancer on the world. The 1976 Global 2000 forerunner, Resource Shaping and International Order, published by the Club of Rome, carried an article under the heading Mankind at the Turning Point. Mihajlo Mesarović and Edward Pestel, who wrote it and called it a master plan to lead to the creation of a new mankind. The work started with these words: "The world has cancer, and the cancer is man." Global 2000 was written strictly with this premise as the basis of its conclusion, that millions upon millions of human beings must be ruthlessly culled out by the end of the year 2050. Are we going to call out the Club of Rome? Are we going to call out the United Nations diplomats and the scientific community? Are those the people that are going to be called out? Or is it going to be the common people, like the Khmer Rouge did over in Cambodia by killing 2 million of the commoners? That's the real plan. These people see themselves as God. And they're Satanists, they're occultists. George Bush, our president, is a member of Skull and Bones. That's an occult witchcraft organization there at Yale. And these people work directly for Satan, the devil himself, and they have a plan. They have a plan. Satan's plan is to eradicate mankind. Mankind is God's creation and God's plan, and he wants to thwart it. And there are a number of men on planet Earth that want to join Satan's rebellion against God, and they've done it. And you and I are kind of pawns in the game. Pawns in the game. Now, there is a God in heaven that says, you know, you play this game by my rules, and I'll be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. You obey me and keep my commandments, and I'll protect you. Then there's another God over here called Satan, and he says, you join my rebellion and you do things my way and I'll give you great riches and glory. And these people have joined up with Satan and they intend to collect riches and glory, and they intend to take the world over for themselves. And they're going to create the world, a world of the oligarchs on the one hand and the slaves on the other. I think I'll do like Moses and throw my lot in with the eternal. Well, Global 2000 used mankind at the turning point to claim that a new strategy to redistribute natural resources was absolutely vital. It also attacked consumerism in America and called Americans greedy and unwilling to make sacrifices of any kind. Global 2000 recommended that out-of-theater NATO forces be used to bring third-world countries into line with its new economic policies. Again, Global 2000 borrowed extensively from Harlan Cleveland's Atlantic Council report, which mandated a world body taking control of the natural resources of all the nations, and that means the United States too, and to advise third world nations to decide democratically among themselves which populations would be eliminated. Well, isn't that just special? You can just about bet that the people that are voting are going to be voting to eliminate the guys over there that aren't voting. Now, this is pretty heavy duty. You know, when you're talking about 90% of the Earth's population, you know, you just take a look. You got 6 billion, so let's just take 6,000 times 0.90. And you're going to take away 5,400,000,000 people and leave about 600 million people alive, you know, based upon world projections of population today. 6 billion in the world, save 10% of them alive. That just fits in with Isaiah 6, verse 13. Let me just check that out. Sometimes I cite these off the top of my head, and then I find out that I screwed up and... Isaiah chapter 6, that's what I just said. Verse 13, God says he's going to save a tithe alive. Here we are. But yet it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Remember, the Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13 tells you this thing is written in code. And in Matthew chapter 13, the Messiah was asked, how come you're speaking to these people in parables? And he said, so they can't understand what I'm telling them. That's right, he didn't want them to understand. Because if you understood what's coming down, boys and girls, you're going to be responsible for your actions. So to obviate the responsibility of your actions, we keep this hidden from you. And that's why he said, many are called, but few are chosen. So for the few people chosen for the first resurrection, they need to understand what's coming down and why. So I'm just giving you a report. I'm a reporter. I'm not a theologian. Didn't come here to get you saved or get you converted or tell you, you know, to go to this or that church. And I don't know who God's going to save through this and who he isn't. It's not my job. I'm just here to tell you that there's a plan being worked out, and there's two sides to the plan. You got God's side of the plan, and then you've got the United Nations side of the plan, which is being worked out here with the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, Tavistock Institute, and a whole host and plethora of think tanks and groups all over the world working together. And what we see going on in Iraq is just a part and parcel of that program. The United States needs oil, and we're going to take it from the Iraqis. We've killed about 100,000 of those Iraqis over there. The Iraqis are just pawns in the game. Nothing personal. Nothing personal. And there's a bunch of them over there that just don't want to lay down and die. Evidently, they must know what the plan holds for them. And they said, well, we might as well go down fighting because they're going to kill us all anyway and take our oil. And that's what the game plan calls for. Useless eaters. Can you think of any more useless eaters than a bunch of ragheads running around in the desert? Of what value are they? And just take a look at it from the point of view of the oligarchs in Great Britain and the United States. They're just out there, useless eaters, consuming natural resources. Of what value are they? Take a look at the people of Africa. Teeming millions of people in Africa, useless eaters. What do we have a use for those people for? Let's get rid of them. Let's give them AIDS. What about the teeming millions of India and China? Of what value are they? Let's get rid of them. That's the plan. Now, there is a God in heaven. He has a little different plan. He had a purpose for all those Chinese and all those Indians and all those Arabs. He's got a plan for everybody. He said, now, you guys practice my law, and I'll cut you into my plan. We gave him the finger, we Anglo-Saxons. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we said, kiss off and get out of our lives and leave us alone. So he said, okay, I'll do it. I'll get out of your lives and leave you alone. And let's see where you take yourselves. Now, here we are in the year 2005 at the peak of peak oil. Peak of peak oil. And we're at war with the Iraqis. We're bankrupt and broke. And the world's got a population of about 6 billion people. And when the United States, which represents 20% of the world's economic activity, collapses, or is unable to buy, it's going to bring in a world depression upon everybody. And there's a prophecy mentioned here in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocols of the Learned Elders. I mentioned that to you in the last program. So why don't we take our break right here. We'll come back and we'll take a look at these Protocols of the Learned Elders, written back in 1884. It's a part and parcel of this thing called the New World Order, this Global 2000. Stand by. We'll be back with more. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, for more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Remember, that's free. It's a 4-hour CD introductory package. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the law or an editorial review, please go to the website, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. A group of people got together. We call them the Learned Elders of Zion. Learned Elders. Zionists. In 1884, they got together. These people are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program. John Coleman has a label for him and wrote a book called The Committee of 300, another dynamite insider book written by an insider, John Coleman. He's a British intelligence officer, fully familiar with all of these secret societies and organizations, wrote a book called The Committee of 300. Be sure you ask for that. And World in Review also has a catalog, so why don't you call that toll-free number? Toll-free number, 1-800-942-0821. That's World in Review, John Coleman. And ask him to send you a catalog. I mean, this guy's got a number of books and pamphlets, and he puts out a newsletter. And he'll pretty well tell you where the political bodies are buried on planet Earth. He's still got connections with the British intelligence and American intelligence, and, you know, he's a pretty knowledgeable guy. There's other people that also, that I report here on the program from time to time, that also have intelligence connections. And they're telling you essentially the same thing, that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, that this economic recovery that everybody's talking about here in the mainstream press is an illusion. And we're headed toward this mark of the beast, Revelation 13:16. You want to avoid that like AIDS, herpes, and VD if you can, as if you know anything about it. If you don't, well, then it's probably not that important. But in the protocols written in 1884, the Committee of 300, as John Coleman calls them, other people call them Jews, and other people, you know, have other labels and names that they hang on these, the international bankers and so on. But there's a group of people in the world that are working diligently to facilitate a change in the orchestrated worldview that the creator of the universe had in mind. And God said, okay, well, you guys are going to effect this change, but I'm not going to allow it to go beyond a certain level or a certain limit. And he said, then I'm going to intervene. And he describes this in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. He says, there's never been a time. This is Christ himself. And I said, there's never been a time like it, including Noah's flood. He said, it's going to be worse than Noah's flood. I would take from that that it's going to kill more people. That at the time of Noah's flood, there wasn't 6 billion people in the world. And the 6 billion people that are on earth today, 90% of them are going to die. That's 5,400,000,000. He says there's going to be a time never before and never again on the planet. Never before and never again. All right, listen to some of these plans that were set about by the conspirators back in the 1880s. They said in the 7th protocol, to each act of opposition, we must be in a position to respond by bringing on war through the neighbors of any country that dares to oppose us. And if those neighbors should plan to stand collectively against us, we must let loose a world war. Now, we've had 2 of those world wars. People of all opinions and of all doctrines are at our service. Restorers of monarchy, demagogues, socialists, communists, and other utopians. We have put them all to work. Every one of them, from his point of view, is undermining the last remnant of authority and is trying to overthrow all existing order. All of the governments have been tormented by these actions, but we will not give them peace until they recognize our super government. That's the 9th protocol. That's a world government coming into play. Now, you know, 50, 75 years ago, when we talked about world government, you know, that was a fantasy. That was Buck Rogers. Today, listen, everybody in the world knows that we're headed for a one-world government headed by the United Nations. And this was written in 1884. Henry Ford published this in 1922. And you can sit there today and say, well, I don't believe any of this. Well, it's already come to pass. Just a matter of, well, when did they say it, and who published it and when? The Zionists said it in 1884. Henry Ford published the report, which was made available in Paris, France in 1909. He did it in his own newspaper in Dearborn, Michigan in 1922. And even then, you know, the concept of a world government through the League of Nations was a dream. Hey, we're about there. When we introduce the poison of liberalism into the government organism, its entire political complexion changed. That's the 10th protocol. In order not to destroy permanently the Gentile institutions, we've laid our efficient hands upon them and rasped the springs of their mechanism. They were formerly in strict and just order, but we have replaced them with a liberal, disorganized, and arbitrary administration. We have tampered with jurisprudence, the franchise, the press, freedom of the person, and most important of all, education and culture, the cornerstone of free existence. We have misled, stupefied, and demoralized the youth of the Gentiles by means of education in principles and theories patently false to us, but which we have inspired. And above existing laws and without actual change, but by distorting them through contradictory interpretations, we have created something stupendous in the way of results. The 9th protocol. The 6th protocol tells us this: we shall soon begin to establish huge monopolies, colossal reservoirs of wealth, upon which even the big Gentile properties will be dependent to such an extent that they will all fall together with the government credit on the day following the political catastrophe. This is a planned event. The collapse of the world's economic system will usher in this new world order. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without it. Now remember, you heard it first in Revelation 13:16, 2,000 years ago. And it was the Apostle John who wrote that startling prophecy that you now see, these gigantic, colossal reservoirs of wealth like General Motors and Microsoft and Walmart. Gigantic, colossal reservoirs of wealth. Citicorp, Bank of America, the credit card companies. And Americans, and I suspect the rest of you, from what I read from the Privateer and other news letters, have all indebted yourselves. You're credit debt serfs and slaves now. Every one of you that's in debt is a credit debt feudal serf. Of course, we called you an employee, but you know, in times past, we called it serfdom, feudal serfdom. The aristocracy of the Gentiles as a political force has passed away, and we need not take them into consideration. But as owners of the land, they're harmful to us in that they are independent in their sources of livelihood. Therefore, at all costs, we must deprive them of their land. Americans are now landless serfs. How many of you people listening to me right now own your homes free and clear? How many of you own land free and clear? Now, Alan Greenspan, as a part of this New World Order program, lowered interest rates in the United States to 1%. Mortgages, which carried 8, 9, 10% interest rates on them, were all refinanced. You people in America over the last 10 years have gone out into the mortgage marketplace, and you have now remortgaged your property. Instead of paying your mortgages off, instead of becoming free and clear, you have buried yourself under a mountain of debt for which now the United States Congress is in the process of closing the gate behind you so that you can't declare bankruptcy. Isn't that just special? Yeah, that's the 6th protocol, written in 1884, boys and girls. This is a plan that's been in operation for more than 100 years. Americans are more concerned about spring break and a licentious lifestyle than they are about the life and death circumstances concerning Global 2000. When it's all said and done, Americans will be cannon fodder by the tens of millions. Tens of millions. That's not to say that you Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders aren't going to be left out of the picture. Now, if you're in this desperate circumstance, then you need to start making some urgent plans. I don't think we've got very much time left. That's my take on it. They go on to say here that the best means to attain this is to increase the taxes and mortgage indebtedness. Have they succeeded in increasing the property taxes and mortgage indebtedness? These measures will keep land ownership in a state of unconditional subordination. Unable to satisfy their needs by small inheritances, the aristocrats among the Gentiles will burn themselves out rapidly. And at the same time, it is necessary to encourage trade and industry vigorously, and especially speculation. Speculation, the function of which is to act as a counterpoise to industry. Without speculation, industry will cause private capital to increase and tend to improve the condition of agriculture by freeing the land from indebtedness for loans by the land banks. It is necessary for industry to deplete the land, both of laborers and capital, and through speculations, transfer all of the money of the world into our hands, thereby throwing the Gentiles into the ranks of the proletariat. The Gentiles will then bow before us to obtain the right to existence. Did you see what happened in 2000 with the stock market collapse? $7 trillion of your money, boys and girls, was wiped out. Now you're at a double high. As Franklin Sanders called it the last time in his newsletter. Double high. We've now reached about 10,900 again on the Dow. Do you people think that it's going to go from 10,900 to about 21,800? Is that what you got in mind? You believe that? The dollar is losing value at the rate of 1% a month. Alan Greenspan is printing money at the rate of $1 trillion a year plus. Honest to God, boys and girls, you believe that the real estate bubble, houses in San Francisco at $650,000 are going to go to $1 million? One or two, huh? That's what you're planning on? I think that most of the people of America are living in a fool's dreamland. A foolish dreamland. Well, go ahead and go back to sleep, boys and girls, and dream on. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But there are some forces abroad that are planning to destroy you, kill you, and to take your property away from you. And most Americans have been eager to follow that plan. They have indebted themselves up over their heads. They'll never see daylight again. And Congress is about to shut the gate. It's not quite closed yet, but it's almost. The Senate passed this the other day. President wants to sign it. The banks and the credit card companies aren't going to let you bankrupt out of these debts. They're going to hang on to you. So at the same time, it's necessary to encourage trade and industry vigorously, especially speculation. Speculation. That's what stocks and bonds are all about, boys and girls. That's what buying houses at the top of the market in the real estate market bubble is all about. It's speculation. Squander your money. And we'll take it away from you. They go on to say that we'll force up wages, which, however, will be of little benefit to workers. For at the same time, we will cause a rise in the prices of prime necessities, pretending that this is due to a decline of agriculture and of cattle raising. We will also artfully and deeply undermine the sources of production by instilling in the workmen ideas of anarchy and encourage them in the use of alcohol. At the same time, taking measures to drive all of the intellectual forces of the Gentiles from the land. Drugs and alcohol. spring break. Let's have another party. Let's have another circus. Bread and circuses. You know, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, Edward Gibbons, wrote a book called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire and said one of the primary causes of the decline and fall of the Roman Empire was the debasing of their monetary system. That's what we're doing right now. We've been doing it for 70 years, but we're really getting after it now. We're going to destroy it. He said another prime cause of the decline and fall of the Roman Empire was the moral lapse or the debasing of morality in the empire. We Americans have turned into a nation of perverts. And while the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky deal was going on, about 72 or 73%, nearly three quarters of the American public approved of Bill Clinton. Well, birds of a feather flock together, don't they? There's not very many Americans left. I hear people say, you know, we got to work hard to save America. What in the hell is worth saving in America? Could you tell me? The sodomites claim that they got 28 million, 10% of the population perverted now. 10%. 28 million sodomites. That's worth saving? Then the whole nation is a nation of Sabbath breakers. That's a capital felony. Then you got the whole nation over here divided over this right to life and abortion. Half the people of America practice passing their seed through the fire to Moloch. That's another capital felony. 10% are sodomites and half of them are abortionists. I'm not really sure there's too much here to save. It hasn't been destroyed yet, but one of these days, the God of creation, that is, the God of Abraham, is going to come unhinged and go fly off the handle. And when that guy starts bouncing off the walls and bouncing off the ceiling, I'd suggest we get the hell out of the way. That's not my take on it. They go on to say in protocol number 10, to wear everyone out by dissension, animosity, feuds, famine, inoculation of diseases, and want. Until the Gentiles see no other way of escape except an appeal to our money and power. Notice the inoculation of diseases. You're giving your children 35 inoculations by age 5. The whole American society is so weak from these inoculations. 1/3 of all babies born come from cesarean section. Cesarean section. You got to cut the baby out. You can't have natural childbirth. Come on, boys and girls. The whole population is addicted to drugs and are drug addicts. Not illegal drugs down here on the corner that you're buying from Bill the crack salesman. It's from Pfizer and all these drug companies over here. They're killing around 250,000 of us every year through iatrogenic disease. This isn't a healthy society. In 1918, 60% of us were healthy, 40% had symptoms, we had some kind of diseases. Today, it's 99% have symptoms and diseases, only 1% are healthy. 1% of our population is symptom-free. We're a sick society, boys and girls. It's for this reason that we must undermine faith, eradicate from the minds of the Gentiles the very principles of God and soul, and replace these conceptions by mathematical calculations and material desires. Isn't that what John Coleman said that he reported from Russell and Wells? The destruction of Christianity, the destruction of your religion, the destruction of your morals. That's what they were after. They've succeeded beyond their wildest expectations. It's already a done deal. Now, you still have a few moral people left in America. Back in the days of Elijah, he complained about being the last man in Israel to practice the law of God, and Big Mike told him, he said, no, I have reserved 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000 in the nation. I would imagine there's 7,000. Hell, there might even be 70,000 in America. There might be 7 million in America. But it's not anywhere near enough. It's not anywhere near a majority. You don't have I doubt if there's 7 million Sabbath keepers and 7 million people in America that obey God and keep His commandments. Might be 7,000, maybe 70,000, but not 7 million. They go on to say in the fifth protocol here, we will so wear out and exhaust the Gentiles by all of this that they will be compelled to offer us an international authority, which by its position will enable us to absorb without disturbance all of the governmental forces of the world and thus form a super government. We call that the United Nations today. And we must so direct the education of Gentile society that its hands will drop in the weakness of discouragement in the face of any undertaking where initiative is needed. This is called the deliberate dumbing down of America. Charlotte Isherby wrote a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. It's what's happening in your public schools. And listen, the American people love it. You know, you don't have 47 million children in public schools because the public is opposed to public education. The 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Now, there's about 2 to 3 million privately homeschooled or home-educated children. Those are parents that are concerned about their children's education. They're concerned about the drift of America's morality. There's some real concern there. Now, there might be some hope for that 2 or 3 million. You know, the God of heaven says, I will be an enemy to your enemies. When you mess with a man that obeys God and keeps His commandments, you're messing with God Almighty Himself. Don't forget it. They go on to tell us that when we become rulers, we shall regard as undesirable the existence of any religion except our own, proclaiming one God with whom our fate is tied as the chosen people. Now, just who are these chosen people? And by whom our fate has been made one with the fate of the world. For this reason, we must destroy all other religions. If thereby should emerge contemporary atheists, then as a transition step, this will not interfere with our aims. Yeah, we have that. We have evolutionary philosophy in our schools. That's the transition stage. But the chosen people, that is, the Zionists, when they get through, they're going to kill every Christian on planet Earth. Anybody that gets in their way. You Muslims over there, all die. They'll destroy all of you. That's why the Muslims are so anti-Jewish. And they're not dumb, you know. They're sitting over there saying, well, the Jews are going to destroy us, and we know that because we read the protocols. The only people that don't read the protocols and don't know what the hell's going on in life are the Anglo-Saxons, particularly the Americans. Now, a world coalition of Gentiles, they tell us, could cope with us temporarily, but we're assured against this by roots of dissension, among them so deep that they cannot be torn out. We have created antagonism between the personal and national interests of the Gentiles by arousing religious and race hatreds, which we have nourished in their hearts for 20 centuries. 2,000 years of race hatred and religious hatred and animosity. The administrators chosen by us from the masses for their servility will not be persons trained for government, and consequently they will easily become pawns in our game, played by our learned and talented counselors, specialists educated from early childhood to administer world affairs. And as we know, our specialists have been acquiring the necessary knowledge for governing. The people who govern the world govern it from behind the curtains. The people that you see out here on the stage in our Congress are what John Swinton, remember John Swinton called? He said, we're just the puppets. These people pull the strings. John Swinton. There's no independent press in America. Dan Rather is a puppet. He just dances because they pay him a lot of money. They go on to tell us that to prevent them from really thinking about anything themselves, we shall deflect their attention to amusements and games and pastimes and excitements in people's palaces. That's what spring break is about, you college students. Keep your minds off of anything that's intelligent. Just keep your minds on wild women and booze, bread and circuses. Such interests will distract their minds completely from questions on which we might be obliged to struggle with them. Becoming less and less accustomed to independent thinking, people will express themselves in unison with us because we alone offer new lines of thought, and of course through persons whom they do not consider as in any way connected with us. We get our news from Lair and Tom, you know, the CBS Evening News. In this divergence between Gentiles and ourselves in the ability to think and reason is to be seen clearly the seal of our election as the chosen people, as higher human beings, in contrast with the Gentiles who have merely instinctive and animal minds. They observe, but they do not foresee, and they invent nothing except perhaps material things. It is clear from this that nature herself, notice the feminine herself, nature herself, predestined us to rule and guide the world. There's the learned elders of Zion speaking. Here's the press. We shall handle the press. Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings will handle, will saddle, and keep tight rein upon it. We shall do the same also with the other printed matter, for of what use is it to rid ourselves of attacks in the press if we remain exposed to criticism through pamphlets and books? Not one announcement will reach the people save under our supervision. We have attained this at the present time to the extent that all news is received through several agencies in which it is centralized from all parts of the world. Literature and journalism are two most important educational forces, and consequently our government will become the owner of most of these journals. If we permit 10 private journals, we shall organize 30 of our own, and so on. This must not be suspected by the public, for which reason all of the journals published by us will be externally of the most contrary opinions and tendencies, thus evoking confidence in them and attracting our unsuspecting opponents, who thus will be caught in our trap and rendered harmless. Reminds me of 2020 in 60 Minutes. Our triumph has been rendered easier by the fact that in our relations with the men whom we wanted, we have always worked upon the most sensitive chords of the human mind, upon the cash account, upon the cupidity, upon the insatiability for material needs of man. And each one of these human weaknesses taken alone is sufficient to paralyze initiative, for it hands over the will of men to the disposition of him who has bought their activities. That's our politicians being bought and paid for by our lobbyists. And that's the American public being bought and paid for by this massive, unrelenting debt and credit card and greed and lasciviousness. And finally, Louis D. Brandeis, Justice of the Supreme Court. He said, "Let us all recognize that we Jews are a distinct nationality of which every Jew, whatever his country, whatever his station, or whatever his shade of belief, is necessarily a member." These protocols, by the way, are available in the book called The International Jew, published by Henry Ford of the Ford Motor Company. I'm out of time. We'll have to take it up right here next time when we come back. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. Tonight we've been discussing this thing of Global 2000 and the New World Order. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All right, we're out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.